The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, I'm not so big on subjectivity, perspective, the idea that the world is always different through somebody else's eyes, even if it's true, because I put so much stock an objectivity, an objective truth. It's the only way we can even communicate with each other. It's acknowledging a basic sense of reality. But there are moments when I realize I'm wrong. There are moments when perspective is everything. And there's an offensive lineman in the NFL draft who reminds me of one of those times. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation, 888-729-3776. Coming up in this hour, Mel Kiper is going to join us. Let us know who's moving up, who's moving down in his latest NFL mock drafts. Plus, let's play a game of butt hurt with everybody on the show. Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, Pat, and myself. Who's most likely to get butt hurt in various situations? Before we talk to Mel Kiper, I want to tell you a story. I was reading this morning about the offensive lineman in this coming NFL draft. It's deep, especially in the first round. There's going to be four, five, maybe six big offensive linemen taken in the first round that teams are going to invest heavily in. I love the draft. And over the next week or two, I'm going to be doing some in-depth podcasts separate from our radio show here where I'm going to get some of my favorite draft analysts to talk about guys, not just in the first round, but deeper. Because I'm telling you, I love this stuff. I like debating who is the eighth versus ninth best wide receiver in the draft. What is the gem in the fourth round we need to be looking for when it comes to cornerback? I love that stuff. I realize it's not always mass consumption, so I'm going to go deeper on a podcast. If you love it too, be on the lookout. We'll let you know when we post it. We're doing a little more of those things. Of course, I interviewed Wade Phillips in about a 45-minute conversation last week, a bank robber a couple weeks ago, and there's an interview that went up today with Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman. In fact, I'm going to play some of that for you because it was a fascinating conversation about how you make it in the world, honestly, about his hustle, about how he became the manager to one of the biggest stars in all of sports. But in reading this article about an offensive lineman out of Iowa named Tristan Wirfs, he could be the top offensive lineman taken in this draft, or he could go fourth, which would mean he goes in the top 15 picks in the draft somewhere. He's an absolute monster. He's a freak. He is 6'5", 320 pounds. But Tristan Wirfs is an athlete, and not just an athlete for an offensive lineman. That's key. For an offensive lineman. That's the phrase I want to hinge everything on here. We're going to hang our hat on that and come back. Wirfs, 320 pounds, runs a 4.8 40. So 4.8. I mean, I think tight ends get away with a 4.8. Definitely defensive ends. I mean, 4.8 is burning it up. Unless you're a wide receiver, a cornerback, or a running back, 4.8 is pretty dang respectable. But 320 pounds, it's freakish. What more? His vert, 36.5. The average vert, by the way, for an NFL player is somewhere between, I think it's 26 and 31. I just looked up a minute ago. 26 and 31. He jumped 36 inches. His broad jump, 121. The point is, the dude is a stud. And this is a lesson that I learned when I was 18 years old. When I was 18 years old, I was a swimmer growing up in Texas, and I played a little bit of water polo, but I walked on to what is a Division I-A program, and not just a Division I-A program, but a top 10 annually program in Southern California. I walked on to Pepperdine University, and I got there, and I was like, well, at least I'll be fast. And that's when I learned that there is not fast guys and then big guys, but big guys are fast. You jump up one level and those two camps become one. I remember walking on the deck and there was a guy, he's a good friend of mine, and I bet he weighed 250 pounds. And it didn't all look like Adonis. There was a tire, or, you know, maybe like a tricycle tire around the midsection. It wasn't just rock solid. And there were several dudes on the team like that. And they're my buddies, Alan, Conrad, Scott. They were great. They were fast. I got in, and I was like, oh, well, those guys, I got that. No, sir. I'm talking fast. Not fast for 250 pounds. Fast. And that's the same thing you learn. One of my best friends played offensive line at the University of Texas, and he played in the NFL. He wasn't fast for a big old heavy dude. He was fast for a human being. Like, you line up all 170 pounds of you and your starting whatever safety in your high school football team, you're not faster than the Division I offensive lineman. And then jump that up to notch to the NFL, and you're talking about even a greater level of merging between freakish size and freakish athleticism. I know it's easy to understand, like, in theory, and it's easy to go, yeah, well, of course, well, you know, the top 1%, until you see it and experience it. And maybe you have. I'm sure many of you listening played sports at some high level. You start to really realize the naivety from a distance. Oh, look at him. He's so big. He's so heavy. No, he's not. He's fast. Faster than you or me. And that's the truth. I told you I talked to Rich Kleiman. Rich Kleiman is Kevin Durant's manager. What's weird is, I think we came into this conversation both a little arm's length distance. A little wary, but not afraid. Both confident. And both a little uncertain what the other dude would be like. I think we hit it off pretty squarely right away. I'll show you how a little bit later in the show. It was a little bit of stone busting right off the bat. I'll play that for you later. But one of the things I found we had in common is this idea of going for it, entrepreneurship, hustle. But then one of the things we had differences on is networking. How did he become Kevin Durant's manager? How did he go from a hustling kid in New York City to an entertainment, you know, executive, one of the biggest in the industry? And he told me something that he does that I simply have trouble with. That's networking. Here's a little bit from my conversation with Rich Kleiman. I told you earlier that I shared something with you in our background. I thought that was the entrepreneurial approach to our careers. I also said there was one thing that we were different on, and that's your value and ability to network. I never could master that, man. I did not like it. I don't like going to networking events or cocktail parties. I don't remember.
Why?
I don't know, man. I don't know if it feels transactional to me in terms of the relationships. I don't know if it's always like there's an angle or so I will say this, Rich. I can tell you the biggest values in my life, and it has guided me through what I've done on television, but also behind the scenes as well. Like, I truly, truly have an aversion to anything I do not feel is authentic, right? Like, I make my show, we joke about the truth. You know, I have a monopoly on the truth. It's just like, I may end up wrong, but I'm going to get there honestly. I promise you that. Like, I believe what I believe, and I'm authentic about it. And I guess sometimes that networking process to me lost, and I'm not saying it is that way, and I'm not saying you're that way. I'm saying for me, it felt at times inauthentic. So I was always bad at the networking part of it.
Yeah. Well, it can be, and some people are. But if you're not, I always found it to be informative. Like, for me, it was like, I always think about this. I take for granted the fact at times that I can talk, and you can talk as well, too. That's what you do for a living. And a lot of people, that's their biggest kryptonite. They just can't speak. They can't speak in public. They can't speak in rooms. They don't know how to advocate for themselves. I've never had a problem with that. So I think sometimes that people are reluctant to, like, network because of fear. For you, it sounds like you always found it to be a bit inauthentic, but, you know, you can see those people. I don't want to network with people that I think are full of either. And if people right. that I think are, you know, are talking to me for the wrong reasons, or when I was younger and that I felt like weren't really giving me any time of day, I didn't stick around for that. But I've been able to meet some of my closest friends from networking at first and through business. And, you know, especially if you're so passionate about your business and your craft the way we both are, and fortunate enough that they're rooted in sports. So it's like, we don't have to, like, check out from speaking about, like, oh God, man, I don't want to talk about the market all weekend. Like, that's not our world. We want to talk about sports. So I always found it to be, like, very informative, and I could meet people that gave me different perspectives on life. And mm-hmm. But it comes with the slowing down. You should network more now, because people know you, and people probably don't know certain sides of you. Like, I didn't even know this side of you to have a conversation like this at all. I never imagined.
What'd you think I'd ask you on these kind of things? Like, you that I'd want to debate China with you, maybe? Adam Silver? Or
you know,
I,
you know, you like the level like this to this degree. And I love that because I also think that if athletes were able to see this side of reporters more and journalists more, they would be more inclined to speak. Because yeah. I know for me, like, Kevin chooses to speak to who he thinks he's going to have a great conversation with. So some people will be like, I don't understand. He passed up Wolf Blitzer, but I saw him talking to so-and-so on this podcast. I'm like, yeah, because that's his friend. Like, what do you mean? Like, and I think from the standpoint of, like, Will Cain, if you were able to show, and I guess you do with your podcast, but, like, the fact that you speak this way, I can imagine there's so many other entrepreneurial athletes and executives in sports that would love to come on and have this kind of conversation.
Well, we
so I think that.
That,
like, I think it's good. I think it's cool to see this because I think when you go up to people and you network, you're going to realize that so many of those people are like this as well. And I've just been able to meet some, like, fascinating people that have helped me change how I look at business, have given me, like, the courage to take certain steps in my career that I may not have. And again, I don't have that fear, but I also use the logic that if most people are uncomfortable speaking, then the people they're going to speak to are probably uncomfortable as well. So you're both better off just getting it over with. And I just don't have that kind of fear. And I bet part of it for you, I'm not projecting, or I can't accuse you of this, but I would assume that part of the networking you don't like is just that it's uncomfortable.
That's Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's manager. He's on a podcast, a long-form interview with me. By the way, we'll talk about some of Kevin Durant's choices on who he communicates with. You heard a reference there. Rich is going to tell me about Kevin's use of social media. It's a fascinating conversation with a guy who's gone from Roc Nation Music to Roc Nation Sports to Kevin Durant's business manager to his business partner in a venture capitalist fund. A lot of good stories about how you make it there in my conversation with Rich Kleiman, which you can check out on the Will Cain Show podcast. Coming up, let's get into it. Let's play the first round of Butthurt. Nuno, Mike A., Bubba, Pat, and myself. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Who's Mel Kiper Jr. have moving up and down his mock draft boards? Let's get into that in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I told you I'm doing a little bit of podcasting. That means a little extra from the Will Cain Show. You should check it out. Definitely go to the Will Cain podcast feed, and you'll get more than just the daily radio show. You're going to get some in-depth conversations, the latest of which is with Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman. In fact, Arnold in Los Angeles wants to get in on what we were just talking about, networking versus small talking, why I don't like any of that crap. What's up, Arnold?
Hey, Will. So I'm an essential employee. I'm an attorney. I'm on my way to court, and I like to think of myself as a good networker, and I think the key to networking that maybe you're getting hung up on is the perspective of you're not there to benefit you. You're there, if you think of it as you're genuinely there to meet people and make friends and to help other people out, then that is how you network, because I get a lot of my best business and referrals from people who I've helped out without the thought of, hey, with this person, I'm going to get this business. It's just, you know, out of the goodness of your heart. And then that leads to other, you know, that's networking. And you know how they say, don't chase the money in your job, chase excellence and the money will come. Same thing with networking. Don't chase, you know, what you're going to get out of it. Chase the genuine relationship that you're going to make from potentially like-minded, interesting people. And then the values that you were looking for from the networking event will come.
Arnold, stay here. That was okay. Awesome advice, man. I think you're spot on, and I know you are, and I just mess that up sometimes. I actually really appreciate what you had to say. So let me tell you where I was coming from first. I hate events. I hate, you know, whatever, networking, cocktail parties, for a couple of reasons. A, I hate small talk. How you doing? How you been? How's work? You don't care about the answers, and I don't care about the question. You know, and actually Rich Kleiman and I talked about that. I would actually rather make a conversation uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, I just met you, and I want to ask you something that's going to reveal something about you. I can't think off the top of my head what that might be, but, you know, I'm going to want to laugh or think or whatever. I need some endorphins releasing in the conversation, so I just can't sit there with that white noise of small talk going on. But number two, you go to those events, man, and it always feels like that situation where somebody's looking over your shoulder for, you know, they're looking past you over your right ear, over your shoulder to see if there's somebody more important or more interesting behind you. It's like, you know who's the worst at that? Is celebrities of type events, those type of things. Not that I am one, but I've been around enough to know, good God, it's always a measurement of who's, you know, got the biggest stature. And I hate that crap, man. It's because, again, it's just so fake. And then finally, Arnold, finally, I'm going to be real. Like, I have some buddies that do this stuff, and I'm always like, you like him because he's big time. You like him because he's got a jet. Or you like him because he's rich, and you want to be in a position for your next deal for that throw off. You don't like him because he's a good dude, because he's not. He's a rick at best and possibly a tool. I did those opposite. He's a tool at best and possibly a rick. And so I see it, and I get all turned off by it, and it's gross and inauthentic. But, Arnold, you're 100% right. I gotta start looking at what you can do for other people, not the other way around, man. That's what it is. I know you're right, man. You know, it's...
And as long as you're genuine, then you will attract the other genuine people there, and you'll meet the people that you want to meet and that you should meet, you know?
Yeah. I know you're right. I'm going to try to remember that. I appreciate the call, man. That's really good stuff.
Thank you.
By the way, what's going on at the courthouse? I heard almost everything is suspended except for guys that are basically going to get arraigned. What's going on at your courthouse?
Well, I'm a criminal defense attorney, and this is a bail review hearing to try and get my client out. Recently, there have been changes where bail amounts have been reduced because of the COVID-19 crisis, you know, especially if you're in a higher risk category. And so that's what I'm trying to do is go help my client come back.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I'm doing.
All right, Arnold. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate your feedback on that stuff. It's really good perspective. By the way, that takes me back to where we started the show today. The UFC fighter, Andrew Smith, who got in a fight with a home intruder, and then the home intruder gets an MMA beatdown, but apparently, according to Andrew Smith, dealt with it pretty nicely. Took some knees and elbows and fists to the head and kept on coming. All 170 pounds of him against a 205 UFC fighter and Andrew Smith. But the part of that story that I thought stood out was he didn't even go to jail. He got released on his own recognizance to return for his court date. COVID-19, as Arnold and the Andrew Smith story illustrate, easier to get out of jail than ever before. Speaking of that conversation with Rich Kleiman, it did come up in our conversation of Kevin Durant. And while this isn't networking, actually it turns out to be networking. I have so many questions about Kevin's use of social media and whether or not, and I'm not trying to for a minute crush KD, but concern for him, because it doesn't seem right to deal with all the hate all the time. And this takes it full circle, because Kleiman's like, you know what? He's actually even kind of networking. Listen to this. I mean, I will tell you, on the social media thing, I love that you tell me there's an upside. I do worry, because listen, I feel the negativity. We all do. You open that thing up, and it poisons your brain. And sometimes when I see Kevin going back, you know, I don't think I'm being patronizing to say, you worry about somebody who's sensitive and who sees that stuff and responds to it, and you just think that's not healthy. I'm glad there's upsides too, what you just described to me.
Yeah, but I also think that, like, it may not be healthy for everybody, but, you know, I think that, it's like, while he's been doing all this, let's just say since the last 4 years, if you want to use the word healthy, right? And if it's the only way to judge it from the outside, because it's like, who are you guys, not you, but anybody to decide
That's
what's
okay.
like help him mentally, right? So I can tell you he's as happy and sound mentally as anyone I've ever met. He's been, when he's healthy, the most as successful at any sport at any level that we've seen, dominating his business, his charity, his foundation, his family, everybody flourishing. So it's like, I mean, maybe he enjoys it, man. And maybe it's just like more common than you think, because in other, like in music, people do that all the time. And someone wouldn't be like, damn, like Travis Scott, what's up with him? Like, people do it. It's just actually part of like the culture now. It's part of this generation. And Kevin's just such a big star, such a big level, and we report on it so much. Like, if there was a music channel that was like, last night Drake responded to someone on Instagram, people would be like, what's wrong with Drake? People don't do that. They don't report on it. But it does happen. And the truth is that, like, Kevin really just goes back and forth with these guys. And honestly, I've never once said maybe you should chill, because I know that it doesn't affect him in any negative way. So, you know, I'm a pretty honest guy, and I would tell him if I thought, like, man, this seems to be really messing you up. It never has.
And in fact, he's turned it into networking. Go get the podcast, and Klein will tell a story about how KD went back at a hater on Twitter about basketball, and guess what? He's in business with that hater now. Networking, even when you're dealing with social media haters, at least for KD. Again, go check it out, the conversation with Rich Kleiman on the Will Cain Show podcast feed. I think you'll dig it. All right, coming up, Mel Kiper Jr. on his latest mock draft to the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
You know, they say play the hits. They say quarterbacks rate. But I got some questions from some guys that play other positions. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. And to help break down what's coming in the NFL draft, it's our NFL draft expert. It's Mel Kiper on our phone lines. What's up, Mel?
Well, how you been, pal?
Good, man. So unless you tell me something really is brewing on these quarterbacks, like there is no way Tua's going to last to five or all four of them are going to go in the top 10, I'm going to move on to other guys. So I need to know, finger on the pulse, anything big happening with these quarterbacks right now?
I'm happy to move on from quarterback talk, Will, believe me. Make my day. Let's go to some other route here.
Okay, good. Clemson, and I don't know what to say here. Linebacker, safety, Isaiah Simmons. I think that's the key, right? Does he go number what? Let's see, 3 to the Lions, 4 to the Giants. Does he drop down to, like, the Jags? What is he? Is he a linebacker? Is he safety? Is he, which one is he a difference maker at in the NFL?
Is where he's going to be, and I think that's, again, where you look at the situation with the coverage skills that he has, the ability to sack quarterbacks. He can run 4.39, and there's no backs outrunning him. So I think when you look at the combination of skill set that he has, and we say he's perfect for today's NFL, Will, he is. And I think the Giants would be hard-pressed to find a better option. If Jeff Okuda goes 3 to the Detroit Lions, the cornerback from Ohio State, I mean, they could take an offensive tackle. But again, when you're picking 4, well, you got to get the third best player on the board. You can't get the 6th, 7th best player on the board. Now, you can do that if it's a quarterback. You're close enough and you say, okay, I can justify that, but not an offensive tackle. And I don't think any, if you look at who could be in your top 4, Isaiah Simmons could be on the board, one of your best 3 or 4 players in this draft. So to me, get the identity going, get that big-time difference maker. You got the franchise quarterback in Daniel Jones, and get Simmons. Now, if they get an offer to move down and they can get Tristan Wirfs, the tackle from Iowa, or Mekhi Becton, the tackle from Louisville, I had no problem with that. Move down and get a couple draft picks and keep building for Dave Gettleman, fine. But if they don't get the offer and they're stuck at number 4, then you take Isaiah Simmons.
And you said linebacker. So he's a speed, coverage, and sack artist linebacker, Isaiah Simmons?
Well, you talk about, he mentioned tight ends. I mean, that's becoming kind of an in vogue. Remember, it had been phased out. Now, all of a sudden, these guys are major players in this league and major factors, and you can't cover them. And when you think you got them covered, you don't. This is a kid who has length. I think about that, Will, and I know John Gruden always stressed this more than anybody I'd ever talked to about the length. I never heard this till John talked about how it's important to have long arms and height for a linebacker. Most of them are your shorter, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", but to have a guy, you can move around. He could be in the inside spot as well, Simmons could be, and you can move him around and get that kind of skill set to provide all kinds of versatility. So I think the length is underrated, the speed we know about, the athleticism we know about, the will to be a great player, he has that. And I think he had mentioned covering tight end, being 35 yards down the field and covering receivers, Will, flipping his hips and turning back at the right time to break up the pass. He's proven he can do that. So, again, I think we saw that skill set on display. To see it at the combine was pretty amazing. And then you put it all together with the way the games play today. I don't know how, if you're the Giants, I mean, Carolina would have you call it seven if he were there. If Derek Brown were there, I know they need Derek Brown more than they do Simmons. So maybe you take Derek Brown and maybe he drops a little further, because I said this earlier and people were arguing with me, McShay was. I said he's too versatile for his own good. Maybe he is. Yeah. Maybe they figure he does all these things. But what does he do that we need to say we're worthy of the third, fourth pick? Maybe if he gets down to that 7, 8, 9 team, then that's what teams are probably saying to themselves.
That's what I'm hearing, Mel. It's like, okay, covering tight ends is a great skill. Is it worth the third pick in the draft? I don't know if that's true.
Well, second quarterbacks is, Will. That's the thing. That's the part of the equation that I think people are not skeptical about, but if you're going to use them, you can't have them going in reverse and going forward. You only go one way. You can't go both ways. You know, there's no way. One play, decide that you can design different sets and do different things there in terms of your scheme and say, okay, if we're playing X team, we can do this. We're playing another team that doesn't have that title, we can do that. We can move him around, and in certain games, he may have a role, okay? In a certain defensive format, he may have a role there. But next week, he can have a different role. So I think if you take him and don't just say he's got to be this, every week he can be something different. And I think the creative defensive coordinator, the great defensive minds that are in tune with what we're dealing with in today's game, I think will realize that and make it where every week you could get a different Isaiah Simmons.
Mel Kiper Jr. here on the Will Cain Show. One of the positions I find most fascinating, Mel, is offensive line. So whether or not it's Mekhi Becton, it's Tristan Wirfs, whether or not it's Jedrick Wills or Andrew Thomas, whoever ends up going first, and then you can add some more names, Jones and Wilson. What I've noticed is you take all these teams like the Giants or the Cardinals or the Jets or the Browns who are interested in offensive linemen, right? I don't know how much room they actually have to trade back, because one of the things I've noticed playing around with mock drafts and the simulations, and who knows how realistic that is, I know, Mel, but you may not have any of those guys available in even the next category once you get to the second round, right? So let's say the Jets go, well, we really need a receiver, let's take Judy, he's available, we'll get our offensive lineman in the second round. It seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, Mel, there's a big drop-off right there.
Well, there is in terms of that group. The second-round tackles could be interesting because you have a kid named Matt Peart at Connecticut. He's got incredibly long arms. I thought good feet. He's developmental, but he's a left tackle. Isaiah Wilson at Georgia. Had he gone back to Georgia, could have been a top 15 pick next year. Very underrated right tackle. Austin Jackson, left tackle at USC. Very athletic. Needs some work. I thought he struggled in some games, but he's got talent. Ezra Cleveland is the guy to watch. Here's a left tackle. I loved him on tape. The more I watched him, the more I kept moving him up, and he's the kind of guy, very athletic, talked to a former teammate of his, Tommy Stewart, played at Calvert Hall at my high school, was quarterback there, was at Boise State with Ezra, loves him, and I think, and Tommy's got a scouting future, I believe, in this league. So I think when you look at Ezra Cleveland, Isaiah Wilson, Austin Jackson, and Matt Peart, I think Tyree Phillips from Mississippi State could be a little underrated. Sadiq Charles is the developmental left tackle at LSU. So my point is, well, there's other guys that I think in the second round, maybe early to mid third round, teams can find if in fact, say, the Jets pass on to tackle to take a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs III.
All right, one last position group I want to talk to Mel Kiper Jr. with here on the Will Cain Show. It seems to me that defensive end edge rusher goes like this. Chase Young is generational, perhaps, and then it's a huge drop-off or question mark. Whether or not it's Chaseon from LSU or Matos, guy from Penn State, or maybe even Zach Bond, right? It's like maybe they could maybe be pretty good, and they're going to be edge first-rounders, maybe mid-first-rounders, and then there's another huge drop-off. In other words, it looks incredibly, incredibly shallow. Is that fair about defensive end?
I think you can find the Will. The Ravens have proven that. I keep bringing up that. Za'Darius Smith, Matt Judon, player Pernell McPhee. They've been able to find those guys. I'll give you a couple names. If they drop into day three, we're going to be focusing on these guys a lot on that Saturday, day three, April 25th. It'll be Alex Highsmith at Charlotte, Jonathan Grenard, John Grenard at Florida. I think Jabari Zuniga at Florida is interesting. I think there's some guys like that that you can find, and somebody's going to slide a little further than they really should in this draft and become, at that point, a pretty good bargain. I think you look at, you know, I can go a little further down the line. When Anthony Jennings at Alabama, if you can get him in the fourth round. Julian Okwara had the injury in Notre Dame. You can get him down there a little bit. So I think there's some guys. Curtis Weaver's going to drop a little bit because most of his production came against weaker opponents. He had a high grade, and people, I think, realize when you go back to the film, look who he's playing against. I'm not as high on him as I thought, you know, some people were, and then now he's dropping maybe into the fourth round. So I think you will be able to find a guy like that on day three, and some of those guys I mentioned will fall into that fourth, fifth round area.
It just keeps coming back to me, Mel, as I play with my different simulations, like go ahead and get your offensive lineman or your defensive end, maybe your defensive back as well, because if you take your receiver in the first round, you're going to have trouble filling those positions, and receiver you can find through four rounds. That's what it looks like to me right now.
Well, the wide receiver's interesting. You got to pick the right one. I think that's the thing. There's a lot of mixed opinion on players at a variety of positions. There's always going to be that where you might like them, the other teams, I don't really like that guy. A couple guys I think you're going to get on day three are Antonio Gandy-Golden from Liberty. He'll say, well, he ran 4.6. He's slow. He's 223 pounds. He's 6'4". To me, and he had a 36 vertical. So he's got some explosiveness, and he caught the ball down the field, and he can be that power forward. He's interesting. A guy I think that people have overlooked, Quez Watkins at Southern Miss, had a heck of a year. Then he ran 4.36 at the combine. Does he get a little lost in the shuffle? You know, coming out early as an underclassman. Desmond Patman from Washington State ran great at the combine as well. Had production. James Prochet at SMU did everything. They want a guy to catch the ball, and he tested out fairly well, but not great, so he could get lost in the shuffle. So, well, when you have 30 receivers with third round grades are in,
Devin,
you got
Duvernay. How about Duvernay? I think he's going to be great. I'm a Texas fan. I watched him, but he ran a 4.3 something, and he caught over 100 balls. I don't know why you wouldn't take Duvernay if he's available.
If you want a slot guy, that's exactly what he is. Now, he did not catch the ball as consistently 2 years ago. He improved dramatically this year. He's a slot guy with great run after the catch ability. You mentioned that compact frame, strong kid, ran 4.39. If there's going to be slot guys only. That's what they do. Don't ask me. There's going to be outside guys. Like I say, when you got 30, and I can even stretch it to 35 very easily, that have grades in a 3.5 round area to maybe 4th round area, which means, Will, you're going to be in the 7th round looking at 3rd, 4th round caliber receivers. That's what you're going to find in this draft. So, again, this is a position unlike an Isaiah Coulter. Keep an eye on him from Rhode Island. Aaron Parker's teammate could be an undrafted guy. Coulter's moved up into the 4th, 5th round.
All right. I love talking about all that stuff. I know we're supposed to talk about quarterbacks.
We'll do that another time.
Okay. Thanks, Mel. Appreciate it.
You will. Take care, bud.
That's Mel Kiper Jr. here on The Will Cain Show. I love that stuff. That's what I'm going to do on a podcast. I probably shouldn't have done it right there because that's going to get you really set up for the NFL draft, but I'm going to make sure you're taken care of before that thing kicks off. The Will Cain Show is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Let's play Butthurt. Mike A., Nuno, Pat, Bubba, myself. Who's most likely to get Butthurt? Next in The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Exactly how many games is your favorite team going to win? Who will win the NFC East, the NFC West, the AFC West? We've got complete breakdown. Win totals, passing yardage, rushing yardage, team and individual players, all. I'm serious. Coming up on The Will Cain Show. Presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles. With insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. But we're going to play a game of Butthurt. This is Mike A's game. He's got the cards. He draws a card, and we debate who's most likely to get Butthurt in this situation. Nuno, Mike A, Bubba, Pat, and myself. We did one earlier, and the question was, who is a prude? Real quick, how do you define prude? What is a prude, fellas?
Yeah, I had it defined one way, then looked it up and realized I had the wrong answer.
Oh, so when you said I was the prude.
Yes, I had the Breakfast Club version of the prude as opposed to what it actually is.
What's the Breakfast Club version of a prude?
Essentially a tease.
A tease? I'm a tease?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Guys, wait a second. Who's in the room? I gotta tell you something. Hold on.
That stuff I do. That makes no. That's not a prude. No, no. And
again,
now,
as I said, I had the wrong definition.
Okay, so now I'm off the board. Nuno, you said Bubba's a prude.
Correct. Yes, I think when it comes down to it, he would be afraid. He'd be like, "No, let's just stick to the usual."
No, guys, we really shouldn't.
What is the usual?
He's saying you don't want to experiment. You don't want to take any risks.
I just wonder what the usual is, though.
It's not eating crazy stuff around March Madness. That's what he's talking about.
Right.
Correct.
Bubba, we both agree it's Pat. Like, if there's a bachelor party and we all have some ideas, Pat's going, "I don't know, guys."
It's getting late.
Can't we just sit in a circle and have a drink?
Boy, you guys have the wrong idea of me.
Okay, that's how Who's a Prude went. All right, here we go. Let's play Butthurt. Mike A., you're going to draw a card, and we're going to debate the answer, right?
We're going to count to three. Will everyone say their answer?
You want to do it like that, like I did the first round?
Sure.
All at the same time.
So we
These
have
are the red
three
cards.
Seconds to think it over and give an answer.
Three? Yeah. Okay.
Jeez.
This is the risky card, the red card.
I just pulled.
Can we have a little more than 3 seconds?
I just pulled the first card.
How about
okay,
you just
five
say
seconds?
It, say it
five
first.
Seconds, Bubba.
Okay.
5 seconds of thinking, and then we say the answer.
This is going to get somebody butthurt right away.
All right,
okay. Who has the ugliest face?
No! No! Next. That's just hurtful.
You afraid of getting butt hurt?
No,
you want me to pull
not.
Another card?
He knows it's not him.
What by majority vote, we can go to a next card, or do we have to answer?
Next card.
Yeah, good. We just found out who the prude was.
I mean, I'm feeling fine with that one. I'm not too worried, but I just think we should move on.
I thought this show was about the truth. Hold on. Let me pull another card.
Okay, different drum roll.
Who would get picked last for a sports team?
Okay, 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Ready? Here we go. All right, in the future, we'll do it that way. When I get to one, we all answer. Here we go. Ready, set, go.
Nuno. Did Nuno say Nuno?
I did.
Nice. Did Pat amend his answer, or did you stick with Will, Pat?
Oh, no, I'm sticking with Will.
So one vote for me. Wow. You're a Rick, Pat.
Thank you.
All right. Can I go back to the ugly face one? Because I have an answer now. All right, let's do another
Quickly.
One. Let's do another one.
Who has the potential to be a serial killer?
I like that.
Wow.
Ready? Five, Ooh. Four, three, two, one. Bubba.
Will. How's your masseuse?
Wait, so Pat, you said me again. Thank you. I
no,
can
I
hear
said
that.
Bubba.
30.
Oh, somebody said
I
Will.
Send you.
You did. It's just a defensive posture because you knew there was an onslaught of Bubba coming. I'm not even second, Bubba. Like, I was between you and Pat, and I was debating it up to the last second.
No, I think you've done enough research. You can be a serial killer. 10 seconds. Dude,
that should be our next interview. We did a bank robber. Next time, interview with a serial killer. All right, more butthurt, plus exactly how many games will your team win next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Kane Podcast. You can listen to the Will Kane Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Kane Podcast.